Hi, Spud.
Hi, Kimmy. Great to chat.
Good to chat too, mate. Look, I'm a little bit nervous because, and I mean this in the nicest possible way as a compliment, I think that you're quite the brute.
Well, I was a brute, but not now. I've been now retired 21 years. But, no, it's crazy. Some people do meet me in the street and say, Spud, I thought you were a bit of a, I was going to say a wanker then, but I'm going to say it. And I say, well, I'm not. I'm just one of these competitive people. And at the end of the day, I'm not a bad person.
Look, I totally get it. When I used to play sport when I was a bit younger, I tell you, I played all through my childhood, and I know what you mean. I used to give it 150%. So, yeah. But on the field, you're an intimidating player.
Yeah, well, the thing is, Kimmy, you can't be on the field. You have to be a person. You can't be the same person off the field. So, but on the field, I was just the way I've been brought up. Yeah, people say your background. Where do you get this winning desire? Well, when I'm only 5 foot, I was a 10-pound baby. My dad never played rugby league. He was a muso. He was a bass player for Johnny O'Keefe. So where do you get the desire? I'll tell you what, I used to hate losing Monopoly. So you can imagine me losing the game of rugby league.
So how did you actually get into it if it sort of wasn't in your family already?
Well, Mum reckons they put me into soccer at the age of four. And all I did was dig holes and run around in circles. And my mum looked at my dad and said, this kid hasn't got brains for soccer. We'll put him into rugby league. So thank you, Mum and Dad.
You've had a stellar career with the Panthers, the Rabbitohs, the Seagulls. You went over to London. You played State of Origin. You played for Australia, mate. You must look at that time as just amazing for you.
Yeah, Kimmy, I think as a kid, you just dream about playing footy, right? And you try and make first grade. Like, I'm a para junior. A lot of people don't understand that. I got shunted as a young kid due to politics. Then went to the dark side, played rugby union for a couple of years, and then went through the Penrith system where I got graded. But as a kid, you just dream about playing first grade. But when you get the first grade, you look at all the other rep stuff, and I'm very happy and so pleased that I've actually ticked every box. One of those, winning a grand final, which is the pinnacle of anyone's career.
Yeah. You know, I used to watch you mainly when you were with Manly. That's my memory of you, Spud. And I used to always love, because you'd give that 110%, you'd get into a tackle and you'd hear that body thump. I love to hear that tackle thump when someone goes slam.
Yeah, well, it's just my childhood heroes were the Ray Prices, the Terry Randalls and the Jeff Robinsons. The analogy is, the harder you run, you don't get hurt. So that's why I used to run as hard as I can. And also, you've got to hit someone as hard as you can and put your body into it. That's where you're going to get the sound effect. So it was just great memories out there. You know, everyone talks about the challenges of myself and Paul Harrigan for Newcastle Knights. I said to the Chief, we formed a legacy, mate. Like, we dreamt about playing rugby league, but we actually formed a legacy of belting the hell out of each other.
You certainly did have a rivalry with him, didn't you?
Yes, I certainly did. I just took it upon myself, Kimmy, to take him on. When I got to Manly, it's just one of those things. I always like to go against my opposition, number 10. And it was Chief and everyone, everyone's just waiting for the first tackle to be made or whatever, first punch to be thrown. And every game we fought. So, but now I class him as a mate. It's quite incredible. You know, I've written a book called Spud. I've actually got Adam Hawes. He actually rang the Chief. And I said, Chief, why don't you do your own chapter and don't hold back? I want to hear what was going through his brain when he was playing against me, and it's riveting stuff.
Absolutely, and I love the photo that you've chosen for the front of the book. It just, you couldn't have get a happier looking man with that beautiful trophy, your hands in the air, like, you look amazing.
Yeah, thanks very much. Great memories. You always think about the great players of the game, that one being Mal Meninga, and there's a kid I remember when he won his first comp and he was there crying with emotion. I was exactly the same, and he was down the camera and he said, you can play for your state, you can play for your country, but to win a comp with your mates is the best thing ever. And Mal, I 100% agree with you, mate.
Yeah, same here, mate. How did you get the nickname Spud?
Well, in the Penrith days, I dreamt about playing consistent first grade, and I was just running out of energy. So Muscle magazine said, eat potatoes, and I'm one of these guys, I just only eat one or two. My record was 16 big potatoes. So around the country area, big potatoes. I'm talking big. That was before a game, every game. And then I had a really good game for first grade. But a lot of people don't know I had a sports psychologist working on my mindset for the game. And Peter Flingos, he said, what's your secret? And I said, I've just had eaten 16 potatoes. Next thing, it made the back page of the Telegraph. And but I got my nickname when I went into South. My nickname to my mates is Boxhead. And they said, here comes Spud. And I looked out my shoulder. I said, you, mate, you're the one who keeps eating all the potatoes. And as I said, I'm a bit of a bit of a show off in some capacity. I tried to get number plates for my car, spud number plates, but SPUD was gone. So I made my own number plates, SPUDD, and it stuck for life.
I love that story. And forget the protein bars, mate. It's all about carb loading with spuds.
Oh, well, you look back now. Potatoes are horrible for you, but I'll tell you what, they made me a little bit crook, but it got me a nickname. It got me through my game.
Yeah, well, it gave you plenty of energy, that's for sure. Tell me, I did hear a little story about you one time when Russell Crowe came into some dressing rooms and you quite colourfully asked him to leave.
Yeah, well, that's how I met Russell in 1999. Tom Cruise walked in, and I wasn't really a movie fan, but I knew who Tom Cruise was, but next thing, Russell comes in and I didn't know who he was, but I love watches. He had a Submariner Rolex on, and I love watches. And when I met, I said to him, mate, I did get a watch. I didn't know who the hell he was, and we just formed our friendship since then. He's been a massive part of my life since 1999. I was lucky enough to play for the Arara Valley Axemen up in Coffs Harbour at the age of 36. I hadn't played for 4 years, but I just needed some sort of closure. I think Russell could sense that, and then I was fortunate enough to start looking after him. I did a movie, Cinderella Man, so anyone out there hasn't seen a fantastic movie, get Cinderella Man. But the people I met over there, Kenny, you know, Ron Howe, Renee Zellweger, poor Giamatti. I pinch myself every day what I've gone through, and since then I've come back and I've got a gym now called Spuds under the creation of Russell. He said, mate, I think you should turn yourself into a gym, and I've had it ever since.
Oh, good on you, mate. I want to actually know what you taught Ron Howard from Happy Days.
Well, thing about it, he was wearing it was a bad shirt Friday. We had this bad shirt Friday, and I said to him, mate, I wouldn't wear that for a rock fight. But I got on really well with Ron Howard. How you meet someone, he was watching, we had a football over there, and we were passing, spiral passes, 30 metres at least. And he was wondering, he goes, Spud, how do you do that? Because they're all used to the one over the overarm NFL. And I said, mate, come and have a look at this vision. I had the vision of myself and the Chiefs smashing into each other. And he turned around, Kimmy, and he goes, you're not wearing any pads. Because they wear headgear and that, helmets. And I said, no, I'm wearing a mouth guard. And it broke the ice. I used to go out for dinner with him and sit on set with him, and it was a fantastic experience.
Is he as down-to-earth as he seems?
Oh, he's absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. But just to see the movie set, you see the movie and it cuts. Yeah, some of the best work, and one of the pieces Russell did was the best work he reckons he's done in a long time, and it made the... It didn't make the cut. It hit the floor, as they say. But Ron Howard, fantastic.
Mm. And is it true that you actually went to Danny DeVito's home?
It's nothing you don't know about me, isn't it? We went for a walk through Beverly Hills with Russell, and he said, oh, do you want to call and see my couple of mates? And anyway, one of them was bloody Danny DeVito. And I didn't realise how short he was, but he had the actual, whatever he was in Batman. He had
The penguin.
The penguin suit. He's only about 4.5 foot.
I was going to say, is he like about 2 foot?
Yeah, the house, can you imagine what the house in Beverly Hills, it's just another world. Good luck, Tom.
Yep. And what about Sting? Tell me about him.
Well, we actually went and watched him live, and Russell threw an after party for him, and after about 2 hours, there was a band up there playing. It was like an acoustic version, and my background, as I said, my dad taught me a little bit of guitar, and I was like mucking around. So I said to this guy, mate, what else are you playing? He goes, heavy rock. And he goes, do you want to have a go? I said, yeah, I want to get up. So I got up on stage, and Russell grabbed his PA by the throat, and we said, we let him out of our sights for 2 minutes. Looks what happened. And, I sung a rock and roll melody, Jailhouse Rock, Blue Suede Shoes, Hound Dog. But what happened? That opened up the can of worms. Everyone started to get up on stage, all the musos, and it was the best of the night. But I met Sting the next day, and he came up to me and he said, I really enjoyed your song. And I said, mate, why didn't you get up? Have a jam with me. He mentioned that. That would have been fantastic. But those words have kept me going ever since.
Geez, what a life you have had, mate. It's incredible. And tell me about your life now. You've got a family and you're a settled man and life's good?
Oh, of course. I've been a beautiful wife, 26, living it out. Been married 26 years. Got two fantastic kids. Joshua's 26, Indiana 22. But they threw a beautiful night on Wednesday night for me, Kimmy. It was an emotional night because I couldn't have a book launch. I'm getting a little bit teary thinking about it.
Mm.
And they threw a book launch, and it was just absolutely beautiful in our house.
Oh, that's beautiful, mate.
In a way, the COVID, I dreamt about writing a book, but also I dreamt about signing bloody autographs, people locking up and hopefully, writing their name out and putting their number. But as you said, COVID stuffed a lot of things, and that certainly stuffed up my book signing. So now as I say to people, go to penguin.com.au and you can buy it online. My great mate, Wayne Blair, who's another Australian famous actor, he does the audio book, and you've got to hear it. It's moving here in an audio system. But I did everything I wanted to do in life. Kimmy, regards, rugby league.
Well, mate, hopefully when COVID's under control and we can get out and about again, you might just have to postpone your book signings and then go out then, because I'm sure a lot of people would be really interested in meeting you, shaking your hand, getting their book signed. You know what? I'd love to have a couple of beers with you at some stage. I reckon you sound like a great bloke.
Well, okay, when this COVID and all this other crap moves over and we all get vaccinated, get out there and get vaccinated. We've got to take this thing on, you know, take it on and let's get our life back to bloody normality. I'm over it.
Absolutely, Spud. I'm 100% with you. Thanks so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Well, thanks very much, Kimmy. See you at home.